Well, good morning to you. Last week I asked you and encouraged you to share with me your life-changing stories. We started last week this series on the parables of Jesus and how Jesus told stories that weren't just stories, but they were life-changing stories. You know, Jesus wanted to use these stories to teach principles that would change a person's life, that would change a person's destiny. And I encourage you to share some of your stories with me. And a number of you did. I got several stories shared with me. One of them actually was verbally. A man came up to me, and his wife was standing over. And he said, "Sweetheart, come here a minute." And she came over. And he said, "Pastor John, I want to share with you a story." He said, 28 years ago, he said, "I met this woman." I said, "That's wonderful, you know." And she looked up at him, and he said, "And I'm going to talk to you about being light today." And he said she was the light of Christ in my life, and she led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my life changing story. And I looked at her and was like, "Wow, that's pretty awesome." And she had these big elephant tears that came in her eyes, and it was like cool. And he really blessed her by sharing that with me. I got a number of stories through the email, and I got one on the phone somebody left me, and Facebook, somebody texted me one, and it's wonderful. So keep them coming, because you know what? I think it's wonderful to hear how God uses stories or people, bring them into our life, teaches us something that can change our life. Well, Jesus said this, or Jesus says this about Jesus, that then Jesus told them this parable. You know, parables are such that God wants to use these stories to teach us wonderful lessons that can change our life, change our destiny. I believe that God can continue to teach us this way. Not only from the parables that we read in the Bible, but I think from new parables. I believe that God can teach us new parables, you know? I think that if we pay attention to life, God can teach us new parables, and that He can use things in nature, things in life, things in our family, things that we encounter every day, that if we just pay attention and learn spiritual lessons from them, that God can teach us marvelous lessons about life and about life everlasting. You know, God wants to say things to us through His Word and through our daily experience of trusting in Him that we will never forget, okay? Do you do that? Are you able to remember things like that you will never forget? I know parents do that. I used to do that with my kids. I remember when my girls were young, I said lots of things to them. One of the things I remember saying to them, I said, "Listen, sweetheart, if you're ever in a car with a boy, and he asked you to get in the back seat, this is what I want you to say. No, my father said that I should stay up here with you." Okay? My father, I want you to know that came from me. Okay? Not only from her, but from me, that her dad, her father, said that this was important. So listen, life is like that, and we are God's children. And God wants to teach us some wonderful, and I think God will teach us. If you are here today and you don't think that God is saying anything or speaking to you, you are not paying attention. So let's jump into a new parable today. It comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. He said to them, this is Jesus, He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Now, this is a parable that a lot of times we don't think about. It's very, very short, just a couple of verses. But Jesus said, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand." Okay? Now think about this. I actually did this past week. Light in Jesus' day was much different than we think about light today. In Jesus' day, probably every family, most every family had at least one of these. A small clay lamp, a bowl really, that had one end that you could put a wick and that you could put some oil. And they had this little lamp that they took into their home and they walked around from room to room. That is so different than what we think of today. When Jesus said, when you bring in a lamp, do you put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? Now think about light for us today. I actually did this past week. I went around our home. I counted how many light fixtures we had. Okay? And I came up with 51 light fixtures in our home. 51 separate light fixtures in our home. No, wait, 52. I forgot the one that's inside the refrigerator. That's right. We have 52 sources of light in our home. Oh, no, wait, there's one in the microwave. There's 53 sources of light in our home. Oh, no, wait, there's one in the closet, too, that you can turn. You know, see what I'm saying? How many sources of light do you have in your home? Now, don't try to count those now. Don't try to count them now because you won't hear anything else I have to say. Do it later. Somebody actually said to me after first service, they said, yeah, I leaned over and I said to my wife, honey, we have 51. She said, no, there's 52. No, there's 51. So there was like an argument here in church. So don't do that now, okay? You can count your light fixtures later. But just think about it this way. It is so different when Jesus spoke these words and what we think about light today. So let me give you a little hands-on demonstration of this here. Did you notice this lamp sitting over there? It's funny. I thought that probably people wouldn't even notice that lamp over there. My wife walked in this morning. She'd been in the sanctuary here for like 30 seconds. Where'd that lamp come from? You know, it's like amazing. Did you notice? All right, think about this. This is a lamp. This is kind of like how our home is, okay? And we have things that give us light, right? Or we have things that even give us more light, or even the most light. Or if we need directed light on something that we're doing or reading. This is kind of the way we think of light. See, that was what Jesus was talking about when he was teaching them about light. How many of you bring a lamp, a little bowl with a small wick on it into your home and you put it under a bowl or under the bed? Now think about that. Think about how foolish it would be. How senseless it would be to have something like this in your home that would give you light or more light or the most light or directed light onto something that you're working on, but then you cover it up. You put a giant trash bag over it. What good is that? See, that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying that it's not enough to have light, but you have to have light in the right place. And a misplaced light doesn't do nearly as much good. So you and I, we would never have something like this and then cover it up. We only get the use out of it when it's used as it's intended. And see, that's the point of this particular passage, this particular parable from the lips of Jesus. So think about it. When you think about this parable, there's two different perspectives that you can have, that you can interpret this parable from either or. Okay? For example, you can look at this parable totally from the perspective of the life of Jesus. The life of Christ. I mean, when you read this, it's obvious that it's saying that Jesus is this light. That this light is Jesus, especially when he talks about how secrets are to be revealed and to be brought out. That's what Jesus did when he came. You know, Jesus said to his followers that I am the light of the world. Now it's interesting because when you think about what Jesus meant when he said that, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is that light. I mean, think about it. When Jesus came into the world, what was he the light of? He was the light of God's truth, and he was the light of God's love. That Jesus came so that people would know God's truth and God's love. That why God made everything that was made, why God made us, and how God loves us, that Jesus was the embodiment of that wonderful truth and of that perfect love. You know, later in the New Testament, we're encouraged to preach the truth in love. And it's a combination that it's really hard to achieve, because we're either mostly truth or we're mostly love. But when you have both of those things, the embodiment of absolute truth and a wonderful love that has no end and no bound, that's an amazing thing. But that's who Jesus was. Jesus was able to tell the woman of the well the truth about her life. Call your husband. Well, yeah, that's right. The person you're with isn't your husband. You're married many, many times. Jesus had the ability to tell the people the truth, to tell the Pharisees the truth, to tell the people that were following him the truth. But he also had this beautiful ability of just loving people exactly where they were. And that's one of the reasons that he is the light of the world. But then also, you know, it's just this understanding of why he came. You know, he came to, you know, and you fill in the blank. You know, he came to accomplish a lot, and he did it all. You know, he came to show us God's love. He came to reveal to us God's truth. He came to live a sinless life, and he did. He came to offer himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of all, and he did that. He came to be obedient to the Father. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. And as he said late in his life, not my will, but your will be done. He came to do all those things, and he did it. He is the light of the world. You know, it's as if God says, you want to know me? Look at my Son. And he is an exact representation of who I am and what my character is like. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we can interpret this parable totally from that perspective, that this parable is all about Jesus and what he came to be, light in a dark world. But I think you also can examine this parable from a totally different perspective, and that's the perspective of our faith, of who we are in Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus, in another gospel in Matthew chapter 5, he's referring to this same parable when he says in the same way, let your light shine before others. And if you read the passage or the scripture just before this, Jesus is saying, you're the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do you take a lamp and put it under a basket, Jesus said. And then the very next verse is, you in the same way let your light shine before others. So think about that. You can look at this parable totally from the perspective of this is who Jesus is. He is the light of the world. He is an exact representation of God's Son. In describing heaven, it says that there is no sun there. Why? Because Jesus is there. The Son of God is there. And there's no need for a sun. He is the light of the world. And you can look at it from that perspective and you can be totally blessed by understanding that. But I think you'll miss the point if you stop there. Because he also wants us to examine our own lives in light of what this parable says, that it's also about us and about us being the same light to a dark world. So let me give you some points to the parable. Here's the first thing. Don't miss the obvious. You know, it's so easy to just go through life and miss something that is obviously there. I think that's exactly the biggest reason that Jesus taught in parables, because he didn't want people to miss the obvious. I mean, you can go through your whole life and don't notice that the birds of the air, that they don't toil or spin, yet God provides for them. They have everything that they need. You know, it's so easy to go through life and not look at the heavens and realize the number of stars and who put them there, how they got there, what it means. You know, it's so easy to go through life and not notice who your brother is, or not notice, you know, like the story of the Good Samaritan, that we need to be there and we need to help those that are less fortunate than we. It's so easy to go through life and miss obvious lessons that God is trying to teach us. Just yesterday, Arlene and I were in Pittsburgh. We went to see the concert third day last night. And yesterday afternoon, we were in Pittsburgh, and we ended up in the Strip District of Pittsburgh, you know, where they have all these different shops and everything. Have you ever been there? Oh, my goodness. It is like 2 or 3 square miles of fun. I've never seen that much black and gold in one place. Unbelievable. Every sidewalk was covered with this stuff. I could have bought a terrible towel every 10 feet, okay? But I'd never been there before, and we were like, we parked, we were walking around. It was so much fun looking at people. It was like, oh my goodness, you know, the way people dressed, what people were wearing. I mean, maybe you don't do that. Do you do that? I mean, isn't it easy to just become distracted by everything that's out there? You know, matter of fact, Arlene and I were walking. They had this open air kind of restaurant, and right on this rail, this man was eating this seafood platter that just looked absolutely beautiful, wonderful. And before I knew it, I was actually talking. I really wasn't talking. I was speaking to Arlene and myself, but I was like so close to this guy. I think he thought I was going to take something off his plate. It's like, that is awesome, you know? I mean, have you ever been somewhere and you know, just this sea of humanity? There were people everywhere. And if you've been there, you probably noticed this. Right in the middle of all this, there's this giant church. This giant Catholic church. And I'm always really interested in things like that. And we saw this, and Arlene says, honey, you want to go in? And look, I said, yeah, let's go in. You know, let's just get out of this sea of humanity, and let's walk into this place of worship. So we walked in the front doors, and it was packed. There was not an empty seat. It was 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and I noticed on the sign when we came out that they had a 4 p.m. mass on that day. It was packed. There was not a seat to be had. There was just a few places that you could actually stand. And it was amazing to me because I thought I was walking into an empty church. I thought I was walking into a dark church. I thought I was walking into a structure that had no life in it at that moment. But here it was, full of people worshiping God. And you know what the obvious thing to me was? There's a whole lot more light in this world if we just pay attention. I mean, isn't it easy to think about how bad things are, how things are derailed, you know, how people don't care and all these. There's a whole lot more light in this world if we just pay attention. If we just don't miss the obvious. The obvious, I think, when you read this parable is this whole thing about light. I mean, the obvious thing is that Jesus is the light of the world. And then the second obvious thing is that God wants us to be light as well. So instead of complaining that there's no longer any light in the world, maybe we just need to work hard at being that light. Here, points of the parable. Here's the second thing that really jumped out at me, this whole idea about hearing. About hearing the word of God. If you read verse 23 and verse 24, right after these couple of verses of this parable, it says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be discovered, disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. And then verse 23 and 24, 3 different times, he brings up this idea about hearing. To him who has ears, let him hear. To hear, let him hear. You know, he's saying that we need to pay attention to the things that are going on around us. Think about it, folks. We are here, H-E-R-E, to hear from God, H-E-A-R. Are you here, H-E-R-E, to hear, H-E-A-R? You see, because a lot of times, it's just the opposite. We're not here, H-E-R-E, to hear, H-E-A-R. We're just here. But you see, folks, I want to encourage you that if you're here for any other reason than to hear, you'd be just as better off to be somewhere else than you are here, right? We have to make sure that we are attentive, that we are listening, that we are paying attention to what God is saying. God is saying that Jesus is the light of the world, and that he came into this dark world to show people what God was like, and that we, in the same way Jesus said, that we need to allow our light to shine before others. Why? Because he has ascended back to the Father, and he said, so I leave you here to be my witnesses. Go into all the world and be a light for them. But the only way we can do that is that when we're here, H-E-R-E, that we hear, H-E-A-R, from him. The third point to this parable that I want to bring out for you is just this whole purpose. The purpose of a lamp is to shine. Right? I mean, we all know that, right? The purpose of a lamp is to shine. And if our lamp is not shining, then really what good is it? See, what we have today is very different than what Jesus had then. When Jesus said, do you bring in a lamp or put it under a bowl or under a bed? The obvious answer is no. Now think about this. Think about what rooms he's talking about here. When he says, put it under a bowl. What room of the house do you use a bowl in? Well, the kitchen, right? When you're preparing. How important is light when you're preparing food? Well, very important. You know, you need to be able to see a difference between, you know, a teaspoon and a tablespoon, or you need to see the difference between a half of a cup and 3/4 of a cup, and you need to see, you know, where you're putting the stove and what the temperature setting is on. Light is so very important. In Jesus' day, when he said about put it under a bowl, you need to understand that they didn't only use bowls in their food preparation, but they also used bowls. They had bowls that were set aside for human waste, right? Okay. Do you need any more explanation than that? Are you with me? Right? So Jesus probably had that in mind. Or he said that you don't put the lamp underneath the bed. You know, do you ever read at night and go to bed? Can you imagine what it'd be like if you turned your light on and you shoved it underneath your bed and you tried to lay on your bed and read? The purpose of a lamp is to shine. But you have to make sure that the light is focused in the right place, toward the right thing, that you're not hampering the light from being at its best. And folks, we need to make sure that we pay attention to our life so that we can do that very same thing. You know, when I come to this, I think of two things. You can evaluate this parable also from these same two perspectives. In other words, you can ask yourself, how did Jesus do? Right? I mean, if Jesus said that I am the light of the world, if God sent his son to be a light into our dark world, how did Jesus do? You know, it all started with a star shining in the night over Bethlehem, okay? And Jesus' life his whole life was an illumination of who God was and how much God loved us. And Jesus lived a sinless life. He never acted in an inappropriate way with anyone. He always said the right things and did the right things, and he was such a beautiful, beautiful soul. And he loved God and he wanted to please God. And there's nothing that anybody can point at Jesus' life and we can say, you know, yeah, he didn't do this very well. He lived a sinless life. If Jesus came to be the light of the world, he did it marvelously. How about us? You know, I mean, when you think about Jesus and him being the light of the world, how did he do? He did great. How about you? I mean, if you can interpret this parable from two different perspectives, that Jesus is the light that they're talking about, and that you don't hide this light, you don't put a basket over it, you don't put it over underneath the bed. If the light is Jesus, he did great. How about us? You're not so good. Not all the time. I mean, have you ever done this? Well, you know, being a pastor, and I'm sure, you know, the other ministry folks here can say this. One of the most times that can really be uncomfortable sometimes is when you get in this situation where people don't know who you are. For example, I recently had a little boat, and I was going to sell it, and I set it out in my front yard and put a sign on it for sale, and this guy came by, and he's looking at the boat, and I came out to meet with him, and I said, "How are you?" And as I went over to shake his hand, before I could even say my name, he said, "What do you do?" It always frightens me when people say that, you know. You know, I want to say, like, I'm a spiritual engineer. You know, and then just look at them and see what they say. You know, he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor, and I'm always, you know, very proud. I'm pastor First Church of Christ up near the campus, right past the campus." He said, "Oh yeah," and he knew he'd had some contact with our church in some way. But right away, he knew. But you know, a lot of times when you get in that situation, people are like, "You know, what do you do?" It's like, "Well, I don't know." I had a friend actually tell me one time. He used to tell people he had a brother that was a doctor. He had a brother that was a lawyer. He was a truck driver, and he used to tell people when they said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a commodities relocation engineer." Oh, okay, right. What do you do? Well, listen, folks. What we do is that we are a source of light. But just like the moon does not have any illuminating properties of itself, it just reflects the light of the sun. That's exactly what God causes us to do. But how are we doing? You see, the whole point, folks, is that we need to take this job very seriously. Because you know what? If there's not adequate light in our world, it's because we are covering up. It's because we are putting a basket over it. It's because we are putting it underneath the bed. It's because we are not sitting it out where it can do the most good. We live in a society today that tells us that we should keep our faith to ourselves, that our faith should be private. It should be something that we should not tell about to other people, that we should not share it with other people. And that is exactly the opposite of what God calls us to do. God wants us to be salt. He wants us to be light. And how can we be light if it is in secret? Did you notice that it says there about how that things will be revealed, secrets will be revealed? See, that's what light does. It reveals things in the open that come in contact with that light. So here's what I want us to do today, folks. I just want us to be real honest, and I just want us to have this moment where we thank God and we say, "Jesus, thank you for being that light. Thank you for being that perfect light." And then just say, "You know what, God? I want to be better. I want to be a better source of your light in our dark world." And if we are, the light of our lives can make a tremendous difference in the lives of other people. I don't know if you've ever heard of Christine Kane. She is a dynamic speaker, evangelist really, with the Hillsong Group out of Australia. I heard her tell the story a couple years ago, how her young daughter went with her mother to Walmart, and they wanted to buy, the little girl needed a flashlight. So the mother took her to Walmart, and they did the thing, you know, as moms and daughters or dads and daughters do. And the little girl just, you know, she wanted to pick out just the perfect one. And finally, she found the one that she wanted. And the neat thing was it came in a pack of two. So as they checked out and as Christine Kane paid for the flashlights, the little girl had them in her bag. And as they walked out the door, the little girl was taking them out of the package. And she had one in each hand. And she said, "Mommy, let's go find some darkness." And you know what, folks? When we leave here today, we won't have to look very far to find some darkness. And wherever that darkness is, and to what extent it is dark, Jesus came to illuminate that dark place. And He left us here so that we would continue to do that until He comes again, or until the light of our life goes out. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I praise You today for this wonderful day, for this good day. And Lord, I know that today is a day of evaluation. And Lord, none of us can stand here or sit here and think about and contemplate the life of Jesus Christ and not be amazed at how He was light into a dark world, and how the light of His love for you burned so brightly. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it perfectly. He did it well. He did it, Lord, to such an extent that salvation came to even us here today. But God, even as Jesus Christ left this earth, we know, Lord, that one day He's going to return, but until that day happens, He's asked us to continue to be that light. How foolish it is, Lord, when we put a basket over our light, over our lives. How foolish it is, Lord, when we hide our faith, when we hide this light underneath a bed or anywhere else. But God, I pray that even as we thank God that He did it so perfectly, Lord, may we admit that we do not. And may we ask for Your strength, Lord, to be a light in this dark world. And just as Your word says that Your word should be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord, may we be that with others, with our families, Lord, with those that we contact each and every day. And Lord, right now, as we give ourselves to You totally, completely, without reservation, Father, may You allow and give us the strength that our light would burn brightly and that we would take it so seriously, Lord, to make sure not only that we are the light, but that our light is such that it can make a difference in the world around us. Father, may it happen, may it be so, because of Your love and power working in us, and because of our faith and our trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.